Welcome to the Unscripted Podcast. I'm your host, Anna Hutchcroft, photographer, freelancer, and curious question asker. Join me for half an hour each week while I sit down with inspiring photographers and pick their brains about growing their business, authentically connecting to their clients, and being a good human in this changing industry. If you're ready to take your photography hobby to the next level and turn it into an actual business, you're in the right place. If you want to hear real-life advice from professional photographers and start building the future of your dreams, don't go anywhere. Here we go. Ida Glowick is an intimate wedding and elopement photographer based in Salem, Germany, and today she's on the podcast to talk about organizational strategies that she's learned over the years that are essential for helping a photography business grow. As a self-described chaotic person in rehabilitation, she's had to force structure into her life, and she's seen her creativity skyrocket and her overwhelm disappear as a result of that. From tips to batch working to workflows and strategies that support her through the slow season, she's here to show you that it's possible to get everything done and not burn out. This is a great episode to listen to if you feel like you need a little bit more organization in your life. Stay tuned. If you could just introduce who you are and how you made your way to photography.
Sure. My name is Ida, and I am a wedding photographer based in Germany. I'm also a podcaster. I'm in business with my husband, and we've been doing this for a few years, actually. And I got into it because of him. I was working in Zurich, Switzerland. He was in Konstanz, Germany, which is actually just in an hour apart. And when we were together, I was really just commuting from his place to work, and it was just eating up my day. I was not so happy at my work. And I just saw like how he's living the life of a wedding photographer, and I was curious. And he offered to tag me along as a videographer on a couple of weddings. And that's kind of how I got into it. And I realized, okay, this is something we can do together. So I moved with him in Germany once we got married. And soon after, yeah, I was just like, you know what? I want to learn how to do photography. So he taught me everything that I know.
Wow. So did you know how to do videography before?
No.
What?
Actually not. And the thing is, like, it was just like his clients were asking if he knows how to do video, and they really didn't have any high expectations. And he's just like, you know what? My wife can tag along and let's see what comes out of it. So we were really charging very, very little.
Okay. So everyone knew, like, it wasn't like you're pretending to be a professional videographer from day dot, right?
We were super honest about it. My videos were super whack and it was okay. I learned from it. I had no creative eye whatsoever. I studied tourism before that. That was what I was working in. And it was just kind of, I would always say, a gateway out of my 9-to-5 to self-employment. And yeah, I'm very grateful to the clients that let me do that and who just paid just like a couple hundred euros, you know, it's really, really not much. And then I just knew like being a photographer is more lucrative. So it didn't stem out of a passion. I always say I'm not one of those photographers who just had a passion for photography. It just started out of kind of like, okay, we can make a viable business with me coming into the business. And then I started to love it and it just started from there.
Wow. I love the gumption where you're just like, yeah, sure. I'll pick up a video camera and just kind of make it work. I applaud you for doing that. That would be terrifying to me, but I think that's awesome and kind of led to really awesome things. So how did you get from video to photography?
Yeah. Like I said, you know, doing video was not popular in Germany, Switzerland at that time. You know, people wouldn't, like, they weren't willing to pay a lot of money for it.
Right. When was this?
This is around, I think I started with video around 2014.
Okay.
Around 2015 is when I was like, okay, you know, to do this full time, I actually have to learn photography.
Right.
And that way I can take on jobs on my own and we can do life together that way, you know? So we just, yeah, on trips, he just started showing me how to take photos. Like, I had no clue. Like, I always say, if I can learn photography, anybody can learn photography. You know, the technical side was overwhelming. I had no creative eye. I literally had to learn, like, also on YouTube from, you know, step one. Do you know what I mean?
And yeah, this is a camera.
Yes. And like I remember he was trying to explain to me how to do, you know, the settings and everything. And I just couldn't get it. And I was like, I'm the type of person who really needs to understand every single part from, you know, the most foundational information. And I had to go online and learn it. And education wasn't as available back then. Like, it started at least blooming from what I saw around 2016 when I started going to workshops. And that kind of really propelled my abilities. But before then, I was just kind of like, you know, on Google and YouTube.
Wow. And was it okay, like, having him teach you? Like, I can imagine, like, in a couple dynamic, like, having your partner sort of teach you, like, it would just be a little bit, there would be their unique challenges in that, I can imagine.
Surprisingly with us, I would say not, you know. Another challenge that I had next to that was the fact that everything was happening in German, right? Our clients are German speakers. I am not a native German speaker. I used to learn for studies, you know, I did my master's there in English and everything. So I had to learn German next to it. And that was kind of challenging. But wow. I mean, my husband is the most patient person in the world. And actually, like, I love learning. I'm always learning. So I'm actually really focused when I'm learning. So it all worked out.
Oh, that's so beautiful. Can you tell us about, like, your first paid shoot? You said when you were doing, like, video, you were getting paid like 200 euros and stuff. But, like, what was your first paid photography wedding shoot and what was that like?
Yeah, you know, I was really thinking back to, and I was just like, who actually paid me for photography? And it was an acquaintance. Like, I wouldn't say we were friends, but I knew her and she was like, hey, can you do photos for my wedding? And it was just a couple hours, like, just after the ceremony and afterwards. So it was super chill in that sense where I actually knew them, you know?
Yeah.
And I want to say the second one was a similar situation. And then other bookings came in, like, where he'll, you know, get an inquiry and he's like, are you ready to take it? And I just had to jump in for it because it was either that or going back to being employed at, you know, a desk job or something like that. So I just really blindly went for it. And I remember being nervous. And like I said, the language made me nervous. And knowing that, like, he wasn't next to me on a wedding made me nervous. But clients were happy. Let's just say that, you know. And I was also not charging that much. So I think, like, that just balanced out.
Yeah. Yeah. And now, like, you have your own podcast, which is based on wedding photography. It's called My Wedding Season. And in it, like, you interview guests and address topics that are aimed at helping, like, overwhelmed wedding photographers who feel stuck in their business. And I'm just wondering, like, did this passion of, like, podcasting stem from a point in your life, like, maybe the early days of photography where you felt, like, overwhelmed by, as you say, like, jumping in head first and just sort of finding your own way without heaps of educational material to lean on?
You know, the podcast actually started in 2020 during lockdown, like many podcasts did. Yeah. And that time it was like, everybody knows, like, the whole BLM thing was happening. There was an, you know, uproar in our industry about representation of Black people. And I was quite passionate about that. And it was kind of a way for me to kind of express how I was feeling before the whole uprising even, you know, was something I was already talking about. So I felt like, okay, you know, I'm stuck at home. I can be daring, just bought a mic and did a couple episodes, and kind of it was really just a way to get my message out there. And I didn't take it seriously. Like, I don't know. And then I didn't do it for months. And then at one point I was just like, oh, you know, maybe I can do this more seriously. And then thought of, like, okay, what do I actually want to add into this industry? And I was super overwhelmed. It was something I was working really, really hard on because it was just different from going from being employed to being self-employed, right? It comes with other challenges. And I always say, like, I'm a recovering chaotic person. It's just my nature to be so scattered. And I had to force myself to learn how to get things organized. And I just thought, if I'm like this, I'm sure there are other people out there. And I just started from there, and here we are now, you know. Yeah, I'm about almost 50 episodes in.
Wow. What were some of your first
episodes about?
I know, like, I had some solo episodes. So I always thought, like, I'm just going to do 10-minute short episodes where I just share some tips.
Yeah.
And then one time, I don't know how it is, I was DMing with Jai Long.
Yeah.
And he said, hey, do you want me to come on your podcast? And I was like, oh my God, interviewing someone that's massive. But you know what? It was something where, and when there's an opportunity, I really just don't want to say no. I want to see what's going to happen. And so I said, yes, yeah, sure. And we scheduled it like for 2 days later or something. And yeah, it was kind of, my internet was tripping. I was nervous, but I still published it. And I always feel like, oh, I need a redo of that interview. But it was really that jumping point to being like, you know what? Talking to people and having guests on my podcast gives me so much joy. It's like my favorite thing to do now.
Wow. Okay. So your first couple, you were just like, oh, maybe share some tips and like, it'll be kind of like a blog post, but a podcast. And then like, you were like, okay, I'm moving to interviewing guests and adding value in that way.
Yeah, exactly. Because normally, you know, I love writing. Like that was my comfort zone, to be honest.
Yeah.
And I just like, you know, there's this whole thing of hearing your voice on a podcast and thinking, oh my God, how do I sound? I went through that. And I just went, I got to the point to be like, people like voluntarily press play if they want to listen to my podcast. I'm not forcing it on anyone's ears. So whether my voice annoys them or not, I think it's okay. And I'm doing my best. And it was just kind of accepting it and saying, you know what, I feel like there's something I can share, and hopefully just helps people.
And are a lot of your podcast episodes sort of talking about the organizational aspect of wedding photography?
Yeah. You know, organizing like in terms of how to run your business smoother, right?
Yeah.
And yeah, things that I just learned along the way, stuff like, for me, I used to wonder, like, how do people get so many things done? Like, I remember listening to Jenna Kutcher's podcast back in the day and just thinking, how does this woman do it all? So I wrote her and I was just like, hey, Jenna, can you share how you do it all? Because she had like a Q&A thing or something. And she shared how she does batch working, how her system works for her. And that was such a turning point for me from that point. So I always credit her for teaching me batch working. And that has really transformed the way that I do things. And, you know, like I figured out how to have like workflows and, you know, have a system in place.
Yeah.
And just not drown in all the things that I need to do.
Well, yeah, I feel like that leads me perfectly to my next question, which is like, what are some factors that you've seen lead new photographers to feeling overwhelmed? And how can being better organized help with these things?
Yeah, I think one of the main things is that people don't plan ahead of time. You know, they're just in it and they're winging it, especially like if you're in the beginning. At least that was me. And I've seen it from a few people when I talk to them. And I really, my biggest advice is always taking a step back, really investing that time initially to plan out even your year ahead of time, right? Yeah. And this can come in so many forms, but it's really, it could be your goals. It could be like even the amount of weddings you're taking, making sure you have enough time between weddings, even for rest. And also making like templates, checklists, all these kind of things that is going to make your life way easier in the future. And I think that's kind of where a lot of people stumble.
Yeah. And I also think like people don't really know where to start. Like they're like, they know on some level that they need to be better organized, but they don't really know what parts of a photography business need organizing, like, and in what order. Like, you know, you need to like organize your client communication, you need to organize your like finances and your money flow, you need to organize like your social media and your content posts and like your files as a photographer and like file naming. Like those are
absolutely
like so many things in a business that need organizing. Like how would you suggest that they begin to approach it when it's like nothing's organized and they feel like it's this giant like mountain that like they're at the bottom of that like needs to be summited, but like it's a long way
yes to go. You know, when we see something as a whole, that's just going to intimidate us and overwhelm us. We don't know where to start, right? And yeah. I feel like the trick is always breaking things down to small little portions and attacking it that way. So people need to figure out actually what is my main pain point in this whole area, right? One of the things like I even had, and not only was it workflow and stuff, but let's even look at my office, right? Like I said, naturally, my instinct is to be chaotic. I don't know. It's just how I am. So I force structure into my life and being organized. And I think that's one of the things, like I actually take time. So it could even be like, where do I put my camera gear? Like, I don't need to be running around the morning of a wedding trying to find my batteries and memory cards. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? It could be as simple as that. And all the hard drives, labeling them, knowing where you're putting it. Germany loves paper. We haven't really gone as digital as we should. So I have a lot of paperwork that I need to file, and I have a system for that, right?
Yeah.
We can take it to the digital world of like folders. Where are you saving your client folders? Where are you backing them up? Do you have like just setting out, you know, this is photos that need to be edited. These are edited. These are done. You know, all those things is one thing to look at. But obviously, yeah, like you said, you know, having a CRM is helpful for a lot of people in terms of where all their client communication is happening, invoices are going out, that you don't have to always do things from A to Z, but like automation is the keyword that helps so many people in this area.
Yeah. And like, I really like the point that you made about how having your physical space organized also clears up like a little bit of mental room as well. Like if you just like know where your memory cards and your batteries are and you're not running around and like just like you walk into your office and like you know where things are and everything's kind of in its right place, like it already kind of gives you a bit of a jump start into feeling a little bit more on top of things. And it really adds to that, like, yeah, just like the emotional state of not feeling overwhelmed.
Absolutely. You know, like there are people I know, they talk about they have anxiety and everything and they're freaking out. Oh, did I forget this and that? And on top of that, it's also you're wasting so much time you can be using for anything else, right? Running around searching for something is so annoying. It even just creates stress in your body, which you definitely want to minimize as much as you can. So wherever you can simplify anything, it's worth investing the time to get that done.
Okay, so I guess I want to drill into that a little bit more. Like, I feel like we've spoken more broadly about like some of the things that might need organizing, but like, what are some like systems and strategies that you have in place that have been game changers for you? And like this question, like I want you to like enumerate, like just like give me like dot points of like, okay, in this system, first I do this, then I do this, then I do this, like just to really give our listeners a really good idea of like what some of these strategies might look like on a practical level.
Okay, yes. So let's go into this because I know a lot of photographers struggle with like delivering galleries on time and things pile up for them during the wedding season. Like that's okay. A huge pain point that I've realized. So talking about the post-wedding workflow.
Yep.
Looks like this for me at least. So I shoot a wedding and I come home. The last thing I want to do is lose any of the photos I've shot, right? That is number one. So before I go to bed, I already back up the images and I still keep some on the card, but I have them on my hard drives and a backup mirrored external hard drive. So that's set, right?
Yeah.
And for me, super important to deliver my galleries quite quickly so that it doesn't add up by the time like wedding season is over and I have a pile left. So I really make sure, okay, I have my planner and I write down when I plan to edit and deliver galleries. So that's, you know, I just know, okay, this one's being edited. This is going to be sent out. It's uploaded to PicTime. And then even if I have to do an album, when I'm doing that and everything, I know exactly when something should be done and it's planned out. And that way I don't miss anything, right? And then I also have like pre-made email templates where everything that's important for my clients is already written out when I send things out. And then obviously, like in the beginning of that email, I always personalize it so that it doesn't feel too, you know, automated.
Yeah,
exactly. So all these things, it's like that way my brain already knows what to do after every single wedding, you know?
Yeah.
Like it's already like in the subconscious level and I don't have to always think, okay, what am I going to do now? So it's really about planning out your workflow to the T and following it through.
This podcast is brought to you by the Unscripted Posing app, the one-stop shop photography app for photographers looking to up their posing game, streamline their business, and look and feel like a professional. With Unscripted, you'll confidently rock every shoot, capture those emotion-filled images you've been craving, and create a fun photo shoot experience for everyone, including you. Join over 200,000 photographers and search Unscripted in your app store now.
And I guess part of that as well is like not just feeling, it's kind of back to what you said about like when you look at everything as like one big thing, it feels so overwhelming. But if you have a planner where you're like, okay, on Monday, I'm going to spend 4 hours editing this wedding, then I'm going to spend like 1 hour like working on my file organization or whatever, and then I'm 1 hour on my like social media or something like that.
Exactly. You can do it in blocks and you have to know like what works best for you, because like there's never one fit solution for people. So when I share stuff, I always say, you know, take the bits and pieces that work for you, because everyone's in a different situation. Like I have two kids. I also have a husband who's in the business, right? So I don't necessarily do everything. Like, you know, he's handling most of like the invoices and stuff. So it's something I don't have to think about. Mm-hmm. Whereas there's solo photographers where they have to do every single point in their business. So there are different solutions for everyone.
Can you tell us, you touched on this a little bit earlier about like the batch working?
Yes, batch working. So the whole point of batch working is like, if you have similar tasks, it is only efficient to do them at the same time. The best way I heard it being explained is by Tim Ferriss, who talks about when you do laundry, you don't just take like a pair of socks usually and just throw them, you know, in the washer and then hang them and come back and, oh, this t-shirt is done. Oh, let me put that in the laundry. Like, it's just really not efficient. You wait till you have a laundry basket that's full and you do it in one go and you hang your clothes or put them in the dryer, however you do it. Hmm. And that's the concept, right? So let's talk about, you did mention social media, right? Yeah. So right now, one thing I'm really trying to do is, okay, fine, I have to get onto Reels. We have no other choice on Instagram, most of us right now, right? So it's really inefficient for me if I am going to sit down and make one Reel only, and I want to be consistent, let's say, throughout the week, right?
Yeah.
So if I'm doing a Reel to sit down on Monday and then also on Tuesday, there's time wasted. But if I sit down, I'm saying, hey, I'm going to batch work a bunch of Reels for the week, then I already have my editing software open because I use Premiere Pro. And then I'm just going to do it in one go. And it's just more productive. It's focused work.
Yeah, that makes sense. So do you plan your social media campaigns in advance and then do it all at the same time?
Yeah, you know, it's quite new for me to actually have any sort of social media strategy, because it's something we never really focused on, my husband and I. Like, our business has been running really well on SEO and word of mouth. That's been worked for us. It still works for us. But right now, I was just like, you know, let me give it a try. It's relatively new. Yeah, so I would just say that is my kind of, because I can repurpose also the content, I'm starting to repurpose it to TikTok, and I just feel like it's worth giving it a shot. And in the past was just like, oh, post a picture, you know, here and there, whatever. Because our clients mostly really just really comes through majority like word of mouth or like, SEO, like I said.
Yeah. And do you guys have like a slow season over there?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. You know, it runs somewhere starting normally May to October, I would say, for the most part. And the rest of the year is then slow season.
And what kind of organizing do you guys do? Like, during slow season or in the lead up to slow season, like just to kind of make sure that, yeah, like you feel busy and you don't feel like the financial stress of it.
Yeah. You know, what we earn during the high season is really planned out, that we have our finances set for the entire year mostly, right? And then whatever extra income is coming in is also most welcome. My husband, you know, he does like other types of photography as well, like real estate, that kind of thing during the slow season. And I'm always happy to take on, you know, if there's like a newborn shoot or a family shoot, or like my clients, like they, you know, they want a pregnancy shoot, I'll do those. And then otherwise, really, that's kind of like also where I amp up my podcast stuff and do all the interviews and get those in. Or right now I've started to do speaking. So like in 2 weeks, I'm going to England for a speaking gig. So that's also extra income that comes in.
Oh, cool. Congratulations. What are you speaking about?
This topic, actually. So organization. Yeah. Productivity is going to be at Snap. Yeah. And I just feel like it's really something people are really wanting to learn more and more. I feel like I've noticed a shift in the past year that it's a topic that people are diving into. And yeah, I'm happy to share on it.
Wow, from chaos to organization. I feel like you're a great person to talk about it, because you sort of had these, like, as you've self-described, these chaotic tendencies. Yeah. So you can kind of relate to people and, like, you know, people needing to get organized, but also feeling like this internal resistance to it, but also like knowing it's like something that will help them.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and I think as creatives, which now finally I can think of myself as a creative person after doing this for a few years, we have this resistance, like you said, to structure. Thinking structure limits us, right? Mm. Which I want to say, I want to bust that myth, because structure actually is giving us the time and freedom to do more creative things. So there's a mind shift that needs to happen there.
How have you seen that sort of play out in real life in your own business?
Yeah, because, you know, when we actually have clients that we need to serve, that becomes a priority as a business owner, right? And when I was chaotic, of course, I managed to like send out galleries on time. That was really important to me. But most of the time, like I was, you know, doing this, like, oh, where did I save this? What did I do here? I was at my desk, just like really just working in the business, right? On a hamster wheel that gave me no space for play. For other things, for doing anything creative, or like enjoying the outdoors in the summer. Like we live close to the lake. Like I barely saw that. Like, and then, you know, winter comes around and I just thought, oh my God, like this is not the type of life I want to live, like a stressful wedding season. Like I want to bring more ease into my life, and there must be a way to do this. Yeah. And that really, that change helped us, because like, for example, my husband and I, we talked about it and we said, we're going to block out a weekend so that we have like a 10-day gap between weddings every 2 months in the wedding season so that we can travel. And that was another huge game changer for us, because like being like in the center of Europe, you can drive, you know, somewhere close by, you know, you can go to Italy or France or something and for a 10-day trip. Yes. So we would do that and we would come back feeling super refreshed and excited for the upcoming weddings, you know, and I feel like it was just not only amazing for us, but amazing for our clients that we would serve like in even September, August, as the wedding season wraps up, instead of feeling exhausted at that point, we were still feeling refreshed.
Yeah, I really love that point. And also how important it is to bake rest into your sort of business strategy.
Yes.
So during the busy season, just to get a sense of like, you know, how essential that is, like how many weddings do you guys shoot like a month in the busy season? And do you shoot all of them together?
No, we definitely don't shoot all of them together. It's just a few. Like it's only if like they're bigger wedding packages, or if it's a destination wedding, we're together. Or I still do videography. In those cases, my husband would do photography. So otherwise, like it really varies, right? I would say 4 to 5 weddings a month on average.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah, it really depends. Like I said, you know, we still work hard during the wedding season, and that's really what's financing the whole year, right?
Yeah, yeah, totally. And so when you guys are kind of looking at your business together as sort of like where you want to go, what are some things that you sort of look at when you're projecting forward into the future and developing your business strategy?
Yeah, it really depends on our life situation at that point, right? When we started together, we weren't parents yet. And then we had our son and our daughter. Mm-hmm. So like there were points when I was pregnant and I was just like, okay, you know, this year is more about like working a bit less and doing this and that. So year to year, we kind of see what is important, right? We are so fortunate that finally one of our dreams came true of buying a house, which just happened.
Congratulations. So we're,
thank you. Yeah, we're going into renovation starting next week. And so that's a huge investment, right? So now it's really thinking about, okay, you know, yeah, working a little bit more to to make a bit more money after making such a purchase, right? And yeah, so there's always a reason why we'd work more or less. So I think it's just really talking together. We're very lucky because we're very similar, my husband and I. Working together actually really is good. You know, some couples, they can't work together. I've heard that before. But for us, we're a team in life as well. So that actually works good.
That's awesome. And so the business adjusts to your sort of lifestyle needs year on year.
Yeah, I would say that's an accurate way to describe it.
And every year you just kind of look at, okay, what do we have going on in our life? And what do we need to do to adjust the business to like support that?
Exactly. So it's like, okay, you know, so that your financial goals change and we kind of say, okay, you know, like I said, this year we're like, okay, we're going to take on more jobs and really hustle it out so that we could really, you know, have that extra money to renovate as much as we want and have that home and set it up. So once it's done, and I feel like we'll see as things progress and even with the kids, you know, to see how they are doing in school. You know, there might be a point where we feel like, oh, they might need more attention from us. And we might think about scaling back a little bit, or they're good, or, you know, things change. You know, the pandemic came and everything. So like, there might be a point where we want to push a little bit of doing more destination around Europe. But this year, we said, hey, we really want to stick around our area and not really travel further.
I like that. I feel like that seems like a really nice way to approach it, because the narrative that I hear often is kind of like growing your business. It's like growing your client base, like booking more and like getting kind of busier and like booking out. But I like your approach where you're kind of like, some years we need a little bit more financial support and some years our kids might need a little bit more attention from us. So it's not about like growth year on year necessarily for the business. It's just about how your business supports your lifestyle, which I really think that's a really refreshing approach.
Thank you. Yeah, we're very intentional. And, you know, for us, we really think about our life, you know, how we want it to look like. Mm-hmm. And the business, like you said, is there to support that.
And I'm going to pivot a little bit here because I want to talk about, you have like this free digital planner available for download on your website. And I'm curious about what led you to creating it, what's in it. Tell us a little bit more about it.
Yeah. So initially, like I said, like my chaotic brain needs to put pen to paper. And I was just like, the OG was going on InDesign way back when and trying to just make, you know, a planner, because whatever I found in the stores were generic and not made for photographers. So I figured I couldn't find anything online. I'm going to make one for myself. And it was actually a physical paper planner that I made. And I was selling those because I was just like, yeah, it costs quite a bit to print and people were buying it. And that was end of 2019 going into 2020. We know what 2020 happened, you know? So I had to do a hard stop on the paper planners.
Yeah.
But I thought, oh my gosh, it was really, really helpful. And I was just like, if there's a way to make this digital be a game changer, you know? And I was scouring the internet, and it was by 2021, I think I came across how you can make your own digital planner. And I gave it a go and saw that it works really well. And I just couldn't bring myself to selling it. I was just like, I just want to make it available for free because I don't know. I was just like, it could reach more people. It will help them. I was making it anyway.
Yeah.
And I got good feedback. And I was just like, oh, okay. The next year came around. I was like, guys, I will make another one and it will still be free. And I use it every single day, multiple times a day. And I have different things in it because I got also feedback from other photographers what they wanted to have in it to help them. Yeah. And for me, it's also been a game changer. And I will make another one available in 2024. So yeah, people can download it.
So what's in it that's specific to wedding photographers? And I'm also curious about what other people have suggested that you include in it.
What people suggested is they actually wanted like a simplified income tracker and like their expenses. They wanted to track it in there, which I actually don't. I thought, oh, interesting. Maybe I will do that as well. But I've realized I don't use those pages at all, but I will just keep them in there because it's something that they requested. Mm-hmm. What I really use is, for example, I have space for like 30 clients where you can put their client information, like the main points. Mm-hmm. And right next to it is like the post-session workflow, so post-wedding, where I like to tick off things that I've done just so that I keep track, right? So I, for example, I definitely want to make sure, okay, I have like backed up their stuff. I've sent it out, like the invoices are paid. This is something people can also do in a CRM system, but yeah. I love ticking things off.
So satisfying.
Works. Yeah. And it's just there for me to view. And it's, you know, it's from January to December and it's like got space for your weekly to-dos daily, mm-hmm. you know? And because it's digital, I just love that, like, if I haven't done something on Monday, I like didn't get to it. I can drag it over to the next day, tick it off. Yeah. And stuff like this, like I've just jam packed it with like tips for productivity. I've made like checklists in there also like for the, you know, quiet season, what people could be doing during that time to set themselves up for success for the upcoming season. Yeah. So I just put, like, it's like a brain dump of all things to help you get organized. And yeah, I hope people really do find it helpful.
Cool. Okay. There's so much value to that. And I'll make sure to add a link to your website in the show notes so that people can find their way there and download one for themselves. And as we start to wrap up here, what other things are you working on this year? And what can we expect to see from you in the coming months?
Yeah, this year, like, I'm just, you know, I always take a break in the summer from my podcast so I can focus on my clients. But like there'll be episodes coming up because I've been, you know, recording interviews and stuff. So I'm super excited. Also, once the summer wraps up to have more interviews, like it's one of my favorite things to do. Mm-hmm. And yeah, my husband and I are also, we are organizing a retreat in Corsica, France for photographers. Wow. So yeah, that's huge. Like we love this island. If you haven't heard of it, Google it. Corsica is gorgeous. Like we've been there so many times and we've shot there as well. And we've done a workshop before in 2018, I think it was. And yeah, we're planning one this year. So that's something huge that's coming up for us.
Amazing. And people will be able to find links to that on your website?
Yeah, everything is on the website. So if they go in there, in the menu, everything is like clearly labeled.
Perfect. Oh, well, thank you so much for joining us today. I'm so excited to be able to share all these amazing organizational strategies to help people's businesses grow. And I think that you've really done an amazing job of breaking it down from this giant, overwhelming thing to these sort of like approachable, bite-sized, actionable steps. So thank you so much for that.
Thank you so much for having me. You've been an incredible host. Like, it's been so comfortable talking to you and just even thinking about it, like when I talk about it, I actually see how I do it. So that has been helpful for me as well. And if people have any questions, like I am an open book, they can reach out for sure and happy to answer any follow-up questions.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Anna.
If you're one of those people who's always looked at other successful photographers and the way they run their business, and you're just kind of awestruck at how they do it all and how they get so many things done, this episode would have been so full of so many helpful tips to get you on your way. Here are some things that you can do today to highlight just a few. One, try to break big tasks down into smaller, bite-sized tidbits so they feel more approachable and then schedule them into a planner. Knowing you've set aside time to achieve these tasks will hopefully relieve you from some of the pressure you would otherwise feel if they were just looming over your head as this thing you have to do at some point in the future. 2, organize your physical space. Your physical space has such an impact on your mental space. So if you have a place that you always store your batteries and your memory cards, and you know where your lenses are, and you keep everything neat and tidy, then you're not going to be running around the morning before a wedding looking for everything and second-guessing whether you packed all the essentials. You'll just know, you'll feel better, everything runs smoothly. 3, reflect on whether you're a morning person or an evening person, and do the tasks that require the most brain power when you're at your best. Not everyone is the same, and there's no approach that works perfectly for everyone. After listening to all of these tips, it's super important that you take your own style and your own business demands into consideration. Not everything works for everyone. So modify any of these tips to suit you and reach out to us and let us know if they've helped or not. Always love hearing from you guys. I hope you enjoyed this episode and I'll see you next time. This podcast was created on the unceded land of the Bundjalung people, and we pay our respects to elders past, emerging, and present.